We've got something for you tonight in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel. And I'll fill you in a little bit on what's going on here. Let's look at a verse in 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, let's look at one verse to start. Verse 12. 2 Samuel 15, 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite. That's important. David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Doyle, would you lead us, please? Amen. Amen. Ahithophel, according to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, was David's counselor. Turns out he was one of David's counselors. And what happened, where we are right here, is this. David has been king now for quite some time. Apparently by this time, Absalom is 40 years old, according to verse 7. And Absalom has decided that he is going to usurp the throne from David, who is the king. David is Absalom's father. Okay? And so what Absalom is doing is he has built up a conspiracy and he needs a counselor. And as part of his conspiracy, he gets Ahithophel, who was David's counselor, to join him. Okay? Now, there are other men that were with David who are also in this conspiracy, but Ahithophel is the one we want to look at tonight. Now, when he got Ahithophel, he got a good man. Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 23, which is the last verse of 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So Ahithophel was not just a counselor who was wise. Ahithophel was not just a counselor who could be trusted. Ahithophel was a counselor who, when he spoke, spoke as if God had spoken. That's what it means to be as the oracle of God. Three other times in the Bible you're going to find mention of the oracles: Romans chapter 3, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And every time that it's used, it's a reference to the Word of God as if it were either spoken or written. Now that's valuable counsel. That is a good man. So he counseled David, and when this conspiracy was up and Absalom was going in to take over from David, Ahithophel joined him. Now, what happened is that when David realized there was a conspiracy against him to protect himself and to protect the people that were with him, David left the city. He left Jerusalem. And so when Absalom came in, he came in completely unopposed. And he set up to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to use Ahithophel to find out what he should do next about David his father. So when Ahithophel counseled Absalom, he counseled him against David. Look in verse 21 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, or verse 20 to start. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. Verse 21, and Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Well, what happened here is this. When David left, he needed somebody to take care of the house, and so he left the house with his concubines. He had 10 of them in the house. This council says, get those concubines in a tent on top of the house and go in unto them, lie with them, and do it publicly. So everybody will know that you're abhorred by your father, and then those who don't like your father will be strong with you. Now, this particular prophecy, or what's being fulfilled here, is a prophecy that was given to David by Nathan when David went in to Bathsheba, which he wasn't supposed to do. And he said, you did this thing secretly, but I'm going to make it happen in your house openly. So this particular counsel that Ahithophel gives is absolutely according to God. Not only that, but look in 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, now watch the personal pronouns here. Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. That is, all the people that left with David. When they see that David is dead, I'll gather them together and bring them back. I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. In other words, I'm so sure this plan will work, it's just as good as if I've already executed and all the people have come back. So all the people shall be in peace. Verse 4, and the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. This is good. This is a great counsel. That's a perfect way to do it. But I tell you, there's something really suspect in his counsel. And what's suspect in his counsel is that five times he makes reference to himself that I am the one who will make this plan that I'm giving. Counselors don't ever do that. They say, here's the counsel. Get 12,000 men. Go get him. Do this and bring him back. But he has taken this thing personally and he wants to be in it personally. Something's very, very suspect about his counsel. Now, David knew that Ahithophel had been called by Absalom to join the conspiracy. And David was very concerned that Ahithophel would give good counsel. And this is good counsel. So, David prayed that God would turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. And he also sent somebody that might contradict the counsel of Ahithophel and turn the people, and turn particularly Absalom, against that good counsel. Look back here in 2 Samuel chapter 15 at verse 31. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain, where he worshipped God, behold, here's another counselor, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city, and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been with thy father's servant, or as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So he says, Hushai, your clothes all rent like that, and you crying all over the place and earth all over your head, you're not going to do me any good when we leave here. You're a burden to me. He said, you want to help me go back to town, get with Absalom, and when Ahithophel gives counsel, I want you to offer counsel that's against him so that you can defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So go back to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Since Hushai was there and had pledged allegiance already in chapter 17, you don't see it, we didn't read that part, to Absalom, Absalom thought, well, okay, Ahithophel's counsel sounds pretty good. He's probably a little suspicious about all those Mimi and I eyes in there, but he turns to Hushai in 2 Samuel 17:5. He says, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. Now, when he gives counsel, he says, oh, man, don't do what Ahithophel says. Everybody knows that your dad is a man of war, and he is chafed, and the people that are with him are chafed. So when you go out looking for him, you're going to find the army, but you're not going to find him because he's a man of war. He's going to be hiding in a trench or a cave or somewhere like that away from the army. You're not going to find him. Your guys are going to get over there like, oh, yeah, we're going to get David, no big deal. And his men are going to turn around and fight you guys. And when some of you guys start dying, the rest of you guys are going to get weak-hearted about this thing. And you're getting out of there. So Hushai says, I'll tell you what we do. Make sure you get everybody in Israel from Beersheba to Dan. Let's get some ropes, find out what city he's in. We'll pull the walls down, drag those things into the Jordan River, grab him, kill all the people that are with him, and then you won't have anybody against you. And in verse 14, Absalom, 2 Samuel 17:14, and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Why? Because the Lord answered David's prayer. The Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom, because he's the usurper. So, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was defeated, you would have thought, well, he'd just say, well, okay, bummer, it didn't work out. We have two counselors and sometimes it doesn't go my way. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? Look at verse 23, 2 Samuel 17:23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Whoa. I mean, I've heard of people, you know, pitching a fit because you didn't want to do it my way. But to go home and hang yourself? Something is way, way wrong with what went on here. What could have possibly gotten into Ahithophel, David's counselor, to cause him to counsel against the anointed king of Israel and to personally take upon himself the attack against that king and to kill himself when his counsel wasn't accepted? I mean, that's pretty strange behavior, guys. Well, the answer to that mystery is contained in a list of names. You know how you read those list of names, you're going like, what's that all about? We had some real good preaching on the list of names from Matt Shrouse the other day. Well, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and you're going to see the list of names of David's mighty men. And in 2 Samuel chapter 23, you're reading all down here about the Tachmonite and Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. I knew a guy that was nicknamed Dodo. Shem and all these guys. And then you get down here. Here starts the long list, about verse 25. Here starts the list just repetitively of the various names of the men. And you get down to 2 Samuel 23 and you look at verse 34. And you read about this guy named Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai, or Ahasbai, the son of the Maacathite. And then you read about this guy named Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. That's our man. He was from Gilo, and men from Gilo were called Gilonites. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, we saw that. He has a son who is one of David's mighty men. And that son's name is Eliam. You say, well, that doesn't tell me anything. Why should I be so impressed that he had a guy, that Ahithophel had a son, and that the son was one of David's mighty men? Well, I'll show you what the problem is. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, the Bible is the best commentator on itself, right? So 2 Samuel chapter 11, and look with me in verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass, you're familiar with this, after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Uh-oh. You know who this girl is? This is Ahithophel's granddaughter, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Ahithophel, from the time this happened with Bathsheba, for years had been carrying bitterness and revenge toward David for what he did to his granddaughter and what he did to his grandson-in-law. And Ahithophel, speaking as the oracles of God, undoubtedly took his cause before the Lord. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And you know that he began to plead with God, you need to do something against David for what he's done to my grandson-in-law, Uriah, and what he's done to my granddaughter, Bathsheba. And he waited and waited and waited, and God never executed vengeance to Ahithophel's satisfaction on what this man had done to his granddaughter. And so when Absalom set up the revolt and sent for Ahithophel, Ahithophel said, now is my perfect opportunity. I know exactly how to give counsel to this man, that is Absalom, and his conspirators. I know David well enough to know exactly what needs to be done. If they had executed Ahithophel's plan that night, they would have killed David. Because Ahithophel's plan was exactly what needed to be done. All those years, he had carried this bitterness. All these years he had carried that revenge, and it was eating him up from the inside out. And here's the thing. You've met people, and I have met people, that struggle with revenge and struggle with bitterness. And most of them you know, because their bitterness is so consuming that when they are around you, if you spend any time with them all, the complaints begin to come up and the attitude begins to come up, and they're mad and unreasonably angry about things that shouldn't make them that mad. And you begin to inquire and you find out they're carrying something with them that they've been carrying for a long time. I had some people call me one time. They don't even live in the city, but they knew me because of the radio. They called me one time and said, we want to come by your office and see you. I said, okay. And there was conflict in the marriage, and so I asked what the problem was, and the wife began to speak, and she began to relate a story that something happened between her and her husband that just really, really had her teaked up. I mean, her barometer gauge was right over here. And my next question was, when did this happen? And she said, 21 years ago. And I was like, wow. Because when you related that story to me, it's like it happened 5 minutes ago. You're going to have to learn how to deal with that thing. That was Ahithophel. His meter was on over limit. But you know what the problem was? Whereas you can see that in other people easily, nobody could see it in Ahithophel. He was answering as the oracles of God. It was a secret, deep thing that he was carrying inside of him. He was patient, kind of like in hockey when some guy gets beat up. He might wait a season or two seasons for just the right opportunity. And then he's going to take the guy's head off. Well, Ahithophel had been carrying that thing around, but it wasn't apparent to anybody. But in the end, it consumed him into a very foolish involvement with Absalom and finally resulted in his own suicide. You know, normally these sermons have points and all that. There was a lot of groundwork to lay here. What do we take from this? What do we understand from this? It's interesting to know that Ahithophel was her grandfather. But what do we take from this? Number one. If you are carrying secret revenge, or you are carrying secret bitterness, you know what you need to do? You need to let it go tonight. Because you have no idea when that thing will creep up on you and take your life. You have to be very, very careful with that. You say, well, I think I've dealt with that. If it even came to mind, you haven't dealt with it. And everybody has events in their lives, maybe not this drastic, but have events in your lives that will tear you up. And here's the second thing. Because you may not be carrying it now, but you may have something that you carry in the future, and you've got to understand something about this. This problem. Bad things that happen to you at the hands of other of God's people are not always dealt with God's revenge. Didn't the Bible say, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you if it hadn't happened already. Somebody that is a good, godly person is going to do something to you that is going to really hurt you. And when they do, you are going to start praying, "God, you need to avenge my wrath on that person." And then you pray and you pray and you pray, "God, get them, God, kill them, God, give them a wreck, God, make them sick, God, destroy them, God, do something," and you wait and you wait and you pray and you pray, and God does nothing. And the more you pray and the more you ask God to intervene on your behalf, the more God seems to bless them instead. And pretty soon you get mad, like Ahithophel did, at God, and you leave yourself with no other choice but to kill yourself, because you can't deal with the bitterness and the blessings of God in the life of somebody that hurt you. I'm telling you, God blessed David in a way that particularly hurt Ahithophel. David and Bathsheba had another child. His name was Solomon. And Solomon became the successor to David's throne by God's choice. And God blessed him. That boy, Solomon, was Ahithophel's great-grandson. And he missed it. He missed it. I've watched this thing happen over and over again. When something bad happens to you at the hands of somebody else that puts something in here you can't let go of, and you see God bless that other person, it ruins you. And the only way in the world for you to deal with it is to let it go. And if God chooses to bless somebody that hurts you, so be it. That's God's choice, not yours. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to see from the Scripture a very, very important lesson that all of us need to take heed to and all of us need to learn. I really do pray that your people would escape bitter experiences, but it just doesn't seem to be that way. And I pray then when, if they have one now, they'll let it go. And if they've got one coming, that they'll remember what they saw in these scriptures here. For I ask you to do it, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.